Thank you, Lois, for that this morning. Kids, you are dismissed to go to your class this morning. In the words of that song, I will never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. You think about that this morning. What a payment, what a penalty that the Lord Jesus paid for our salvation. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 7 this morning. Romans chapter 7. We're continuing our study through the book of Romans. And today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 7. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul, he continues to make clear to the Jewish Christians that Christ is the only way that they can be set free. In Christ, they have died to sin, they have been set free from the power of sin, and they also have been set free from the law. And as we saw in our study last week, Paul used an analogy, and Paul seems like he always liked to use a comparison or an analogy or an example, and he used an example or an analogy of slavery to teach us that in Christ we have a new master. We have a new master, and that new master is the Lord Jesus. We're no longer bound by sin. We're no longer bound by Satan. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus. Now today in our text, he moves from the analogy of slavery, and he uses one about a husband and a wife. And he's going to use marriage as a picture of our new relationship, the new relationship that we have in Jesus Christ in salvation. So let's look at our text this morning, Romans chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. It says this, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into the message. Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, it's living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, can cut through the soul and the spirit, can cut through the joints and the marrow. And I pray that, Lord, that this morning the power of your word would be placed upon our hearts. I pray that you would help us to glean some great truths from your word. I pray that, Father, that you would give me clarity of your word and that you would give me strength to preach your word this morning. For we ask this in your name, I pray. Amen. In verses 1 through 6, the Apostle Paul is going to show us that as believers, we have been freed from the law. And if you would look at verse number 1 again, it says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives." In this verse, Paul is sharing a simple but true statement. And that is that as long as a man lives, he is bound by the laws that govern them. The Jews were under the authority of the Roman law since they lived in the area that was controlled by Rome. But they also continued to adhere to the Mosaic law that was given by God. And this is pretty much true for us as well. As citizens of this country, we are bound by the laws of the land. Now, we may not agree with every law that we see that is put into place on a local and state and national level, but we are required to live in accordance to the laws that govern us. And this remains true as long as we live. But the moment that we pass, the moment that we die, we are no longer bound by the laws of the land. Here's a perfect example, I think. Suppose a man is convicted of some horrendous crime that he committed and he's receiving a sentence of life in prison without parole. And as long as he lives, he will face punishment for his behavior, and he will face many years in prison. But if he dies, he is no longer bound by the law. Why is that? Because he has died. And that is exactly what Paul is trying to get through to these Jewish Christians. He's trying to get them to understand that when a person is living in sin apart from God, he remains under the dominion and condemnation of the law. But the very moment they call out to Jesus to rescue them from their sins, what happens? They die to sin. And not only that, but they are now a new creature in Christ because they have been resurrected with Christ. They're no longer bound by the law because the old man of sin has died, and so has the law. Now look at verses 2 and 3, and Paul uses an example to prove his point. "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." Here the Apostle Paul is, he uses the analogy of a husband and wife, and he does this because the Jews were very familiar with the marriage law. According to the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, the wife was bound to her husband in marriage as long as he lived. If she chose to leave her husband, she was still bound to her husband according to the law. If she chose to leave her husband for another man, then she was then guilty of adultery according to the law of God. But if her husband died, she was then free and could marry another man. Now, what Paul is saying is some good practical wisdom and application for marriage, but it was not his intent to bring this application of wisdom and this wisdom about marriage to them. He wanted to use this lesson on marriage and its responsibilities to point out a spiritual truth. And that spiritual truth is that before coming to Christ, we were living in sin and we were bound to the law just like the wife is bound to her husband. The only way we could escape from being bound to the law was to die. And what Paul is teaching us is that we must die to ourselves. We must die to the lusts of the flesh for us to be free from the law. So until we die, guess what? The law continues to hang over our heads. The law continues to demand what we could never keep. But when we die, we are set free from the demands of the law. Now in the next couple verses, we're going to see how the law has no bearing on the gospel and of the freedom that we have in Christ. Look at verse number 4, the very first part. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." Paul shares with us that we have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. And he is referring to what he said back in chapter 6, which says, "Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." We're reminded of what we learned a few weeks ago, that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, now that we are believers, we died with him also. And because we died with him, we are free from the law. Why? Because we died to it. We died to it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I am so glad that we are not under the law, but under grace this morning, aren't you? I look at all of the, I've preparing for chapter 6, I looked at all of the laws, the 613 laws. Oh, I'm so thankful for grace this morning. I'm so thankful that our salvation is not based on all of those laws, because guess what? We could never keep them all. We could never keep them all. But the whole point that the Apostle Paul is trying to make is that when Jesus died, we also died. And everything the law demanded on our lives was done away with when we died. And just as our death in Christ brought freedom from the power of sin, it also brought freedom from the power of the law. You see, the law demanded death. For the wages of sin is death. The law demanded it. We are guilty. But when Jesus died, his death satisfied the righteous demands of the law. And since we died with Christ at salvation, we too satisfied the law. And since we have satisfied the law, it has no more claims against us. Why? Because we are free in Christ. Look at verse 4 again. Therefore, in other words, there's that word. I've brought it out before. Therefore, if you see that word, therefore, it's there for a reason. So in other words, for this reason, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. The moment that we became dead to the law, the very moment that we got saved, the very moment that we invited Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, Paul says that we became married to another. That is, we became united to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we became part of His family. And being united to Christ and part of His family, He offers us new life and a new perspective. Remember what united in sin brought? United in the sinful life that we were married to? It brought guilt. It brought condemnation. But being united to Christ, being married to Christ, instead of guilt and condemnation, He offers us love and acceptance. He offers us peace and security. Instead of reminding us of our past, He reminds us of the glorious future that we have ahead of us. And because of our new life and freedom in Christ we have in Him, we should bear fruit that brings honor and glory to God. You say, what kind of fruit? Mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the kind of fruit that we should bear now that we are believers, now that we have been set free by the blood of Jesus. In these last couple verses in our text, Paul is going to compare the old life of sin with new life in the Spirit. And he shows us what changes have taken place since we have become married to Christ, since we have become united with Christ. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Notice that Paul says, we were in the flesh. When we were in the flesh, when we were in our sinful state, we operated our lives according to the wickedness of our sinful flesh. We were unable to walk in righteousness and in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. Our sinful passions, it says, our sinful passions were aroused by the law. When the law said, thou shall not, what did we say? Thou shall will. We did the opposite. We did the opposite. So the law, which was given to show us the right way to live, became something that led us into evil. Now listen to this. I don't want you to misunderstand this. The law was not evil, but it was used by our fallen natures as a reason to go after what the law said was off limits. Think of it this way. When you see, and I know you've done this because I've done this. You're walking down the hall. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe it's at a hospital you're visiting, and you see a sign. Wet paint. Do not touch. I know what you're thinking. Same thing I'm thinking. Huh. Oh, it is wet. That's what we do. That is our nature. That is the sinful nature.
I lost my spot. We were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. In other words, when we thought we were free, as we continued to sin, we were only bringing doom upon ourselves. We were digging our own pit deeper and deeper with every sin that we committed. That's what we were. That's what we did. But I love this verse, number 6. But now. I love that. But now. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Because we have died with Christ, we are no longer under the demands of the law. We are no longer bound by it. Why? Because the law has no power after death. And we are dead with Christ to the law. You know what this means? This means that we are free from all of the penalties that go along with the law. In Christ, we are free from judgment. We are free from the lists of do's and don'ts that can never save us. We don't have to worry about going to hell. Why? Because we are free in Christ, freed forever from the bondage of sin and free from the bondage of the law. And now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the newness of the Spirit. I rejoice this morning that I am free from the condemnation of the law. There was no way, there is no way I could ever meet the righteous demands of God. But Christ made the way for me to be redeemed and reconciled to God. And in Him, I am declared righteous. And folks, because of what He has done for me, He is worthy of my service and my devotion, and I am going to honor Him with the way that I live my life, with bearing fruit. So this morning, I realize that this has been a shorter message. You're going to get out about 10 minutes early. But it reveals a simple, profound truth that we are either bound by the law or we are set free in Christ. Each of us are either married, we're married to one or the other. We're married to the law or we're married to Christ. We're united to the law or we're united with Christ. It's impossible to satisfy the righteous demands of God by trying to keep the laws. By trying to do, I'm just gonna do this and do this and do this, and God will smile down upon me. I'll just go to church every week, or I'll just give X amount of money in the tithes and offerings when the plate is passed. Better yet, I'll even come to Bible study on Wednesday night. No. Folks, that's bondage. That's bondage. We can be set free in Christ by coming to Him by faith, not by all of the things that we can do. By dying on the cross, Jesus fully satisfied God's righteous demands. And He wants to offer you acceptance through salvation. If you're unsaved this morning, you're under bondage. You are under bondage. And it'd be my prayer, my hope and my prayer,
that you would come to Jesus today. If there's never been a time in your life when you've called upon the name of Jesus to rescue you from your sins, do it today. Do it today. Be free. Be free from the bondage of sin that you're carrying. The load that you're carrying, be free from that. And He will set you free. Let's pray this morning. Father God, I thank You. Lord, I thank You, thank You, thank You. That we can be free in Christ. And Lord, I thank You so much for sending Your Son, Your only Son, to die on an old rugged cross for my sin, for the sin of the world. You loved us so much that You did that for us. You did it so that we could be free, free from the bondage of sin, free from the law. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one here today who has never put their faith and trust in You, I pray that, Father, before they leave this place, that they would get that settled today. But Lord, for Christians, I pray that You would help us to rejoice that we're no longer under the bondage of the law. We've been set free. Free because we're free in You. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to share that with those that we come in contact with. Lord, I pray that we would find joy in our salvation. Father, we just commit this to You today. In Your name I pray. Amen. If you would take your hymnal with me and turn to number 373 and stand with me this morning. 373, saved, saved. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what life. Well, thank you for being here today. Pastor Craner, would you close us in prayer this morning? Amen. You are dismissed.